Welcome to Overtures. This episode, we get to chat about a bunch of my guests' adventures in prop making, which includes a fair amount of pictures. Check out this episode on YouTube to see all the amazing props we chat about and see her amazing work. All links are in the show notes. Take your seats, and we'll be starting shortly. I hope everyone's having a great day, a great Wednesday. It's actually sunny outside. The sky is blue. It's a great freaking day. So I'm excited to be here and I hope you are too. I'm sorry I've been absent for a little bit. Trying to schedule actors and other theater people in the midst of so many shows opening right now, but also audition season is also kind of a lot. And it was almost impossible to get scheduling figured out. But that's okay, because you know what? We're back. We're here. I have a bunch of people in my queue of sorts to bring on this show and talk to and chat with. So that's okay. We're here and we're ready to get back to it and back started. So I'm excited to have you. So in terms of shows that I've seen recently, I got to see Bad Cinderella. Yes, I did. Bad Cinderella. It was a grand campy time. I rushed it for $30. It's so worth the $30 ticket. It's so much fun and also some of the best merch that I've seen in a while. I mean, look, a reversible bucket hat. Let's go, you know? It's a grand time. And of course, there's going to be issues with things like book and things like that, especially when you're in previews. But that's a conversation that I'd be happy to chat with people off air and all that kind of good stuff. And then tonight, I'm going to be seeing Lueberger and the Wizard of Friendship off Broadway. So that's going to be a heckin' blast. It's going to be filled with so much comedic hijinks. I'm stoked. So yeah, let's get started with the episode today. Today is episode 60. We love that, an even round number. And my guest today is a New York City-based prop designer and performer. Recent designer credits include the On Your Feet National Tour and a Charlie Brown Christmas National Tour. And she was last seen performing with the 92nd Street Y. I'm so excited to have my guest on today. We were just saying beforehand that although we work together, we almost never really get to see each other or chat with each other. So I'm excited to actually have the time to do so today. So let's get to it. This is Emma Rose Campbell.
Hi.
Hey. I'm so excited that we can do this today. This is just going to be so much fun already.
I'm so excited. I'm so ready.
And we were both saying earlier, apologies if either of our cats come say hello during this stream, because apparently we both have cats who get very interested when we're on our computers. So, yeah. You know, if they do come, then it's another special guest. So what can you do? So how do we know each other? We work together at a theater in Midtown. You work box office. I work stage door. So, of course, inevitably, we never see each other.
Absolutely never cross paths. No.
Yep. Nope. Never. But luckily, our paths did cross because another coworker of ours with Rainbow Sun Productions, Eric Shearer, put together this incredible little concert that we did at 54 Below with Rankin and Bass Music. It was lovely. A lovely proof photo of Emma Rose at the concert. We love the little 54 Below in the background being like right there and in center, just in case you weren't sure where she was singing.
But
yeah, that concert was just so much fun.
It was.
It was such a good group.
Eventually.
Yeah, exactly. It was such a good group of people who were so talented, but also like were meeting each other earlier that day and were like, yo, this is fun. It's so cool to see you sing, like,
yeah,
and that kind of thing. Because that can always be the trouble if like you don't know who like you're doing a concert with, and then suddenly everyone's like performing for each other for tech and everyone gets all nervous, and instead of being supportive of each other, it almost feels like a competition. But that wasn't the case
at
all for this concert, and it was a blast. I know it was my 54 Below debut, but was it yours or had you sung there before?
No, it was also my 54 Below debut.
Love that. I love that so much. Well, cheers to it happening again soon for the both of us.
Yeah, hopefully.
Going back to the beginning of things for you, how did you first get started in theater?
I was a little yellow bird in Your Good Man, Charlie Brown. Mm-hmm. I was not the little yellow bird. I was one of several. And I think I was about 6 or 7. And the local community theater put out a call and they were like, we're looking for kids to be birds. And my mom was like, yeah, you're going to do that. And I fell in love with it and been doing it ever since.
I love that. How old were you?
Like 6 or 7, I think.
Yeah. So had you been doing like, had you been doing like dance or anything at that point already? Okay. Yeah. I had a feeling that that might be the case where it's like, oh, okay. Like she dances around a lot. Maybe like a musical would also be her jam kind of thing.
Yeah. It was definitely that. So I've been dancing since I was about 2, but this was my first like, you know,
yeah,
on stage.
Your first time on the stage. And that must have been such a fun costume too.
Yeah, I think we were in like yellow jerseys and like gym shorts that they like cut up, and then we had like little wings with feathers and stuff, and like little head. It was really cute. It was really cute. Stuff,
like, the epitome of like the perfect costume for kids, because it's like, I have wings and feathers. Like, that's the dream right there.
Yeah, it was community theater, so they like put us up on the doghouse too. They like didn't really care. They were like, yeah, you're gonna go up there. It's like 6 feet tall.
They're like, don't worry about it. Don't fall.
It's fine. It's fine.
Just don't fall. It'll be fine. Oh my gosh. So I'm curious then. So what was your overture moment or like your light bulb of like, oh, but theater is like what I want to do for my career?
I don't know if I ever had like a really big one. I think it was that it became like the thing I was doing like after school. Like I was always in something. I started taking voice lessons and then I would be like, oh, like, you know, I was taking dance classes, I was taking acting classes. And it just felt really natural to me. I was like, yeah. And I remember talking with a friend when I was like probably middle school, and she was like, yeah, I'm not doing the musical this year. Like, I want to like go to science camp because I want to be a scientist. And I was like, what do you mean? I was like, you don't want to do theater for the rest of your life? And she was like, no, you do? And I was like, yeah, I guess.
I love that realization, because I definitely had like similar, where it's like you're doing like the arts and the theater like the whole time, and you're like, yeah, this is what I've grown up on. And then to suddenly see people go in other directions, you're like, wait, what do you mean?
Like, yeah, I was like, did you not like it?
You're like, no, I liked it, but I just don't want to do it. And you're like, what?
Literally, yeah.
It just does not compute. I love that answer because it's so true and so relatable, I think, for all of us, especially for those who like started at that early age and went through like the middle school, high school track of like doing all the school shows and that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that so much. So we were saying that also we had several Instagram questions submitted, but luckily enough, they were all submitted by the same person. But I'm excited because she submitted some incredible questions. So I felt like to kick this off, we'd start with a question. So from Emily J. Whalen, she wanted to know, who is your biggest industry inspiration?
Ooh.
I know, that's a toughie.
That's really a tough one right now. It's so interesting because like I could go at it from several different ways in like, you know, designer, performer, director, like I'm obsessed with Rachel Chavkin. I think all of the stuff she does is super fresh, super cool. I just saw How to Defend Yourself and I was in
How
love.
Was that?
So
I've
good.
Heard I've heard amazing things about it.
Yeah, so good. I just love the way she, and I mean, she was a co-director with 2 other people, but I still feel like the way that they approached it was just so fresh and new, and the way she approaches a lot of things is really interesting. Designer-wise, I don't know if I have a designer inspiration currently, at least not one that I can remember the name off of the top of my head, because I'm really bad with names.
Right. Well, and also I feel like having designer credit, like designer, like names that you can pull off the top of your head is just much more difficult than like, especially with like something like props. I feel like people will like recognize like costume design names or like lighting design names right away. But with props, I feel like it's so like, I don't know, you never know who they are, which is so unfortunate. But like,
I mean, half the time they're not even credited in the same place. Like I've had to like put it into contracts and be like, okay, if you're crediting Scenic, credit me. Cause Scenic and I are
I'm also there.
Together. Like, I'm in the same meetings. I'm like at all of the same tech days. I'm doing the same design process you are. Like,
just put it all together.
Yeah, just put it all together. Yeah, I'm going to stick with just Rachel for right now, I think.
Yeah, I love that. No, I think that's a great answer. And also like, oh, her stuff is incredible. Just, I obsessed with it. And then so going on to the performer side of what you do, recently you worked with 92Y. How was that? Because I know that it was a TYA production, so obviously that presents its own differences in terms of the rehearsal process and performance.
It was great. Yeah, so in terms of performance, it was TYA, so there's like a crowd of kids. They have like glow sticks. It's always a ton of fun because you know that like you could mess up and they probably won't notice. And even if they do, like they're still going to love it.
Yeah.
And I love what 92nd Street Y does, where they try and make it like as immersive as possible. They give the chance, and it was more before the pandemic, like almost every kid could have the chance to like come up on stage during the show and interact. Mm-hmm. Now we had like fewer kids. And it wasn't with the whole cast, you know, we had like, it was two cast members, they were masked. But still like making an effort to feel like the kids are really like a part of it.
Yeah.
And we're running out into the aisles and we're doing it all with like minimal props, minimal stuff. And it's intentional because we want the kids to go home and say, oh my God, like I could put on a show because I have a bowl. I have a suit.
Yeah.
I have a cape. They don't need like insane props and costumes and all this stuff. They say, I know the story of Little Red Riding Hood. I have these really simple like pieces. I could do it myself. So I really loved it. It was really a good time. Rehearsal wise, you know, we were still there like devising dances. Like there was a full kick line. Like they do like these really like original musicals based off of stories that kids already know. And like production value is very high for them for a show for 5-year-olds.
Yes. I love that. Well, and I think it's so sweet that I know that having attended like auditions for them and things like that, knowing that like their process being like, we want this to be big movement because these are really little kids. So you want to keep them as engaged as possible. And yeah. I think that's perfect for that. Cause you were saying it's like ages, like 5, like even younger. I imagine.
Yeah, and they always told us, they were like, if they're talking during the show, that means they're engaged. Like, you want them to be talking. You don't want, like, a silent audience. You want them to be like, oh, my God, there's the wolf. Oh, my God, what is happening? Like, that means they are engaged. They're asking questions. They're curious. They're having a good time. So,
yeah. I love that. Well, and I can imagine, like hearing them, like, talk or react gives you guys that energy to, like, even put more into it, because like when like a villain comes on or something and the kids are like ooh or something like that, it's like those kinds of reactions that you're just like yes they're in it. And you send me a bunch of fun photos from lots of different things, but first one that I'm going to take a look at is a bunch of photos from different contracts that you've done, so I'm excited to take a look at those and hear a little bit more about what those are. So I have this one here in a fun little dance pose.
So
I love the leopard print.
Thank you. That is Mungo Jerry and Rumble Teaser.
Yes.
I spent the summer in New Hampshire about 2 years ago on a not great contract, but I was able to do an entire like summer cabaret series with my best friend. We like co-directed it. Set it up, organized it at this theater that was just also in the town that we happened to be in. So I think most of these are from that, and we pieced it up. So I think this one was I don't think it was Dream Roles.
Mm-hmm.
It might have been Divas. I don't know. We had little themes each week.
That's cute.
And so we learned the entire Mungo Jerry Rumple Teaser dance and did it and sang it, and it was kind of fierce.
Well, that's incredibly fierce, because that's like not an easy one either. Like, that's so much partnering.
Yeah, no, we learned how to do the cartwheel, which was kind of just like a flex, like the two-person. A lot of time spent in the grass outside, like trying to learn without like dying, but we pulled it off.
I love that so much. Then we have this picture here, all on stage together. Was that your full cast for the cabaret?
No, so this was the MDQ national tour. I was the company manager last summer, and I got to tour around for 3 weeks and just help them do their thing. It was so fun.
Well, what national tour was this one?
Million Dollar Quartet.
Oh, amazing. Amazing. And I know I have notes about talking about working as a company manager later on. So I'll hold on to that conversation for later. But that's really cool that you get to have that like full picture of like everyone involved on it. Cool. And then we have this one here. I know this one must be from the cabaret.
Absolutely. This was our first cabaret. It's the first one we did. We had no idea if anyone was going to show up. And we had like a bunch of people from the community just come out. I think the number we're doing is we go together.
Yeah, with faces like that and hands like that, it's gotta be from Greece. Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's like, I think that might even only be like half of us that were there. Like, there's definitely more people on the other side of that picture. But it was so fun because we were finally like on a stage performing. We had a community that was there supporting us. It was really amazing.
So this must have been post-COVID.
Yeah. COVID. Yeah. It was the first summer kind of back. We were on a contract at Storyland.
Gotcha. And then I think I have one more photo. And that one's just of you singing. And that's an incredible, beautiful shot of you singing. What are you singing in this picture?
I'm singing, it's the one from Cabaret.
Maybe this time? Gotcha. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. No, that's beautiful. I love that shot. Amazing. Oh, what did I have next on here? I'm like looking through my notes, but also like losing them as I go. So we were talking about dance and that's really kind of how you got started in the very beginning of things. I'd love to hear about your journey with dance, but also then how you got into like choreographing. Cause while many people out there can dance, not everyone can or enjoys choreographing for others.
Yeah, so I started dance when I was about 2. I started with tap, which is a art form I no longer pursue. But I'm glad to have a basis in it.
Yeah.
And I very quickly added on, you know, ballet, jazz, all the good stuff. And I just did it all the way through high school. I'm obsessed with the Nutcracker. I'm in it every chance I can get. I've done it like 10 times probably,
oh my gosh,
maybe more.
I just watched On Point on Disney Plus, and like I suddenly knew so much more about the Nutcracker than I ever thought I would. But also, I like became very tied to it. So I was like, "No, it's done. I can't." But yeah. No, but I think Nutcracker is definitely one of those things that like people do every single year, and they know it. Like it's crazy. So that makes sense. That definitely Nutcracker is part of those beginnings.
Yes, of course. And I wish I could be in it again. As soon as I find an adult company that will take me, I'm here. There. But yeah, and then I started, you know, just like starting to take additional classes, starting to do some musicals and incorporating dance through that. And just, I guess, working my way up the ranks in the same way that most people do. What would be my big step for choreography? I moved to Kansas for my junior year of high school. Mm-hmm. And I was on an army base, my dad's in the army. And so there was a theater, like a kids theater group that took place like literally down the street from me. And I was a year too old. So it went up to age 15. I had just turned 16. And so they were like, "Oh, you can't be in any of the shows." But the director was super nice. And she was like, "Well, you can like help." She was like, "You can be like an assistant director." And I was like, "Can I choreograph?" And she was like, "Yeah."
So she's like, "Yeah, go for it."
Cool. Yeah. So I got my choreography start with Sousa Cole, with a bunch of 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds, and it was so much fun. Because I think I hadn't really considered that as an option before then. But I like remember like the first time I'd like taught them a dance and they like went up on stage and did it, and I was like, "Oh my god, that's so exciting!"
Like, you're like, "I created a thing and they did it."
Like, yeah, like they're doing it. I made that, but they're doing it. Like, that is so exciting. And I was kind of hooked from there, and then I very shortly after started teaching. Once I graduated high school. So it kind of became its own thing.
That's so much fun. Have you been more choreographing like standalone pieces or like for shows? And granted, maybe that's twofold because you choreograph for shows, but also teach classes, you know?
Yeah, I haven't. I choreographed for a couple of shows in college. The last one I did was Ordinary Days. That was directed also by my best friend who went to college with me. And we added like an original, if anyone knows the show, it's 4 people. We added an original dance track of 2 additional people who were also our swings. So it could have been cut at any point, but we did have a track. And they pretty much shadowed the journey of one of the couples in the show through dance, but then also were like in the other scenes just as people on the street and stuff. And it came out. It was really beautiful. It came out really well. I think better than we expected at first. That's the last show I did. And then I've done a standalone piece or 2 for a friend. And then I've just been teaching and doing it for kiddos in class for recitals and stuff.
I love that. Do you have a different process when you're choreographing for a show versus for like class, for example?
For sure. For a show, I like to make sure there's more of like, you know, like there has to be a through line through the entire show of like a style. So maybe there's like a repeating piece. Maybe there's like a certain like motif that goes through the show in terms of dance. And for just doing it for a recital, you know, it's kind of a one and done. Like,
yeah.
Even if I'm doing a bunch of different classes, they still all kind of have their very own thing happening. But I like to try and, you know, incorporate musicals. Maybe they don't know when I'm teaching a musical theater class, or like do something funky with a ballet class, use a song that like you wouldn't usually use for a ballet class. I try and keep it fresh for myself.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I can imagine where it's like, okay, I've done this how many times, but let me see if I can make it original for me so that I like it as much as they do. And we're going to pivot a little bit so I can fit in another Instagram question. And it's one that I find incredibly interesting. And I think you started to touch on this a little bit. So the question is, have you ever worked for a company you wouldn't work for again? If there is, and we were kind of saying that, obviously feel free to answer this without naming any companies. I don't want anyone to feel like this is a put company on blast moment, but more of a discussion of how you handled it and what you learned and what you can take with you and that kind of thing.
Sure. I absolutely have. and I will name names. I worked an amusement park contract through RWS at Storyland, which is a amusement park in New Hampshire. And we were, I think the biggest issue was we were brought there under the premise of we would be performing, and we got there and we spent the entire summer operating rides.
Oh, that's a very different contract.
It's a very different contract. And even on top of that, I think it didn't need to be as bad as it was, but there was really no support. And we were all kind of like, hey, you told us this and now we're doing this. And they were like, that sucks. and we made it doable. Like, we did the cabaret series that summer, fully separate from RWS, fully separate. We did it through the support of one of the women that lived in the town who had brought us there, was a casting associate for RWS that lives in the town. And when she found out about it, felt incredibly bad and was like, well, I have this theater if you guys want to like perform there. And so like we got to perform in a space, in a rehearsal space, for like completely free, which was amazing. And, you know, be supported by the town anyways. And it was such a small town that like, you know, they would come to the park and they'd like recognize us and be so excited. And they'd be like, are you singing again this week? And we'd be like, yeah. And they'd like come. And like, so it made it doable. And I met some really great people and made some really like lifelong friends there. But yeah, it was not a great.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy to think about. That's mind boggling. And so this was the pictures, the contract that we were looking at earlier with the cabaret, this was that same thing.
Yes.
You completely created it on your own. That's so amazing, but also so special that you guys all were able to sit down together and be like, no, we're going to still make this opportunity for ourselves. And how wonderful that a place to perform fell right into place for all of you.
Yeah. And it was really great. We had live streams so our families could watch from home. We took donations, so we were able to like all make a little money off of it. We all got reel material, which was, I think, maybe our biggest thing going into it, was we were like, well, we have to pad our reels somehow. Like, this is how we're going to do it. Like, and it was great. It brought everyone together. Like, we were outside after work, like, rehearsing on the grass, like, dance numbers and stuff. Like, it was really good. It was special. It was tough, but it was a good experience at the end of the day. But I would not work for that company again.
Yeah, no, definitely turning lemons into lemonade, like in the best way possible. And frankly, I hope you guys were able to report that whole situation to RWS so that they can get that figured out. Because
they definitely got some emails.
cool, definitely. I'm so glad to hear that. So then you are a bit of a Renaissance woman, so you've told me. You're not only a performer, but a designer, and have also toured as a company manager. Before we talk about your designer work, how did you end up touring as a company manager for Million Dollar Quartet? What was that like?
Complete fluke. It was a company that I had designed for just once before, and they reached out and they said, hey, are you free? I said, Why are you asking? And they were like, well, we need a company manager and we liked what you did for props. We think you can pull stuff together pretty quickly. You're going to leave in a week. And I said,
oh my God.
All right. And I was lucky. The stage manager was the stage manager from the show I'd done previously with them and is one of my very close friends. So I did have a little heads up. She was like, hey, I just got a text asking if I think that you'd be a good company manager. And I was like, oh. And like an hour later, I got a text being like, what are you doing? Are you free?
Oh my gosh. Well, and that's crazy because also to go from props to company managing is a very different job, frankly.
Yeah. And I've never, that is currently my only company management credit. I've never done it before. I've dabbled in stage management. I think as everyone does eventually, but
yeah,
it was great. That's lots crazy. Of on the job training.
Yeah. Tell me about it. Oh my God. I'm curious just because I feel like so many people kind of understand what a stage manager is and understand what like designers do, obviously, but the role company manager, what do company managers do, or particularly what was your job when you were on tour?
Sure. So before we even started touring, so like I said, I left within like a week and a half notice to fly to Wisconsin. Basically, the day after I accepted the position, I was in their New York office buying plane tickets, booking hotel rooms, getting catering set up for venues. This was a very short leg of the tour. It was only 3 weeks. We had 2 days of tech in Wisconsin. They put up this show several times before. So we had 2 days of tech in Wisconsin. We had 5 days of one-nighters, just bus one place to another. And then we had a week-long sit in Indiana and then a week-long sit in Memphis, Tennessee. So it was booking flights to get people to Wisconsin. Like nothing had happened. So it was booking to Wisconsin. And then
the week before.
Yeah. I don't know what happened. And thankfully they already had a hotel set up in Wisconsin, but it was booking that and then getting to Wisconsin and like setting up catering for literally like the next 2 days. Cause I was like, I know that this is about to happen. So yeah, company managers, they book your airfare, they book your, hotel rooms. They make sure that you have access to food. I had, some places I had a car, so like if we needed to like go to the grocery store, if you needed to go somewhere, like I had a car, I would drive you. It's kind of, I really described it as like being the mom on tour.
No, that's fair. I was literally thinking about it. And I'm like, it's literally just managing the company. And like, as stupid as that sounds, I'm like, well, yeah, it's literally being the on tour mom. And yeah. Like, what do you need?
Literally, and I kind of served as like a liaison with the like the venue. So like you know, the stage manager and like the crew like advocate for themselves, obviously, with like the appropriate people at the venue. But then I also do payout at the end of however long we're there. So there, I'm handling money stuff. Normally, company managers would also handle your payroll. I was not doing that.
Especially since a short amount of time, I could imagine too. Like, yeah.
Yeah, they just didn't have the means to teach me how to do that. And it was such a short run that it was so easy for someone else to just kind of fire it away from the New York office. But yeah, it was really just being a mom. Like if something was happening with the airport, like I'm the one sitting there like waiting with you to make sure your luggage gets on. And it's really great. MDQ is mostly a cast of guys. We had a bunch of really great guys that had been doing it for a really long time, all kind of like late 20s, 30s, so like older than me. This tour was being made by 2 24-year-olds. And then a bunch of guys, and it was a great time. Like
a small tight-knit group.
A small tight-knit group. Like, you know, I never really thought that I would like be walking through an airport with like five to seven like grown men following me being like, mom, where's the plane? Like that's what we were doing. Like,
I love that so much. And that's really cool. Cause it was such a short like trip. I'm sure by the time you got back, you're like, what did I just do? Like, what did I just do for the past several weeks?
Yeah. Like it wasn't even a full month. Like, but it felt like I'd been away for like forever. Like,
yeah. Yeah, but when was that when you got to do that tour?
That was late May into June, I think.
Gotcha. So just this past summer.
Yeah, yeah.
That's, That's so cool. And that's just so much fun. And I hope this, I'll preface this by saying, I hope this Instagram question didn't apply to this contract, but this question is, have you ever gotten COVID on a contract?
Yes. Well, yes. And I got fake COVID when I was in tech for Charlie Brown Christmas.
Oh no.
Thankfully the tour had already gone out. Charlie Brown Christmas was a special little, baby where they had two separate, they had a tour that went out and then they had a sit in up in Chappaqua, New York. Mm-hmm. They were completely identical, but they were happening at the same time. So they needed two sets of everything. So I had already teched in Iowa, sent the tour out on their way with everything they needed. I was in Chappaqua. I did the full Chappaqua run. They had all the props they needed. And then we had like a 2-day transfer to the Palladium in Times Square with that show. And right before we did that, people started getting exposed to COVID. So they were like, all right, we're putting you all in a hotel in Times Square. We are bubbling this cast. We are bubbling this crew. Like everyone just in their rooms, like COVID tests all the time. And they had the same company that comes in and does Lion King come in and test us. And I tested positive, like no symptoms, no exposure. I hadn't talked to anyone outside of the cast for a week. And I was like, this is so weird. But they were like, just go in the hotel room, stay there for like a week. Like, as soon as your roommates leave, just go home. And I was like, okay. And it got to be like 4 days, 3 or 4 days. It was the day of like the last show. It was Christmas Eve. They had one more show left in the Palladium. I had missed all of them up to this part. Oh, no. I was props running at that point. I missed all of the shows in Times Square. I was so upset. And I was like, I'm going to go get an instant like PCR and just see. I feel fine. I haven't been exposed. And I go and get an instant PCR and they're like, oh no, you're negative. Like you never had it. And I was like, oh, what?
Oh, great.
I was like, because all my rapids were coming back, but I had gotten one positive PCR test. And I am always like, you believe those, you do your quarantine. But I was like, that is so weird.
Yeah.
So I got an instant PCR. It came back negative. They let me go back and prop run the last, the very last show in Times Square, which was very special. Because I was really excited to be there. And now it's just something I joke about. You know, me and my fake COVID.
That's so frustrating. That's so so frustrating. Because you're like, I've done all this work. Time to enjoy the run. No.
Yeah, I was also COVID safety managing at that point. So I was their prop runner COVID safety manager. And I was like, well, now I feel bad. Like,
you're like, why is it all me? Like, that's just annoying. What the heck?
And we found out the same thing had happened to like several Lion King cast members the same time.
Oh, interesting.
And it was the same company that had tested us. And
so do you think it was the tests themselves? Yeah, I was like, I wonder if it was the tests themselves or what?
Yeah, apparently it can happen if like you have, and it's very rare. So like obviously you get a positive test quarantine. Yes. But very rarely, if your test is next to a positive test, it might like pick up something
like droplets kind of thing.
Rare, but some of them are like very very specific, so even if like I was vaccinated at that point obviously, so even if, like maybe someone with COVID had like coughed near me and then it was just kind of in my nostrils and they swabbed too shallowly, like they would have just picked that up. I don't know the science.
Crazy.
There were like several different, they were like, these are several things that could have happened. It also just could have been a fluke, like
that's crazy.
Hey.
But thank God you got to do like that last show too.
Yes. Yes.
And also just for clarification too, prop running a show, was that where you just made sure you had everything like set in place for that show? Or were you literally like running props to people during the show?
I was not doing too much running on this show. Thankfully. They were like, we'll just extend your contract, like, if you want to come and, like, hand off the gift bags, like, to every show, like, we need someone to do it anyways, so, and that was fun, that I was really excited that I got to, like, stay on and, like, really hone the props while I was still there, like, kind of gave me extra time, you know, if I wanted to add sparkle here, if I wanted to make sure it looked extra nice, like, I knew I was the one backstage that could do that before a show, so it was fun.
So you got to go with them, like, once they, like, left Times Square and go a little bit longer on their, like, their tour contract, you got to go with.
People that were in Times Square were the ones that were in Chappaqua, New York.
So they
They were there for like, I think 3 weeks, at a theater at the Chappaqua Performing Arts Center. And then they literally came down for like I think 5 shows in Times Square at the very gotcha. End of that run. So that
so you got to go to the scene. You got to go on like the tour part of it.
Yes. Yeah.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Well, that's really cool and so sweet of them to offer that and be like, hey, I know this didn't work out the way we wanted to. Do you want a little more time? And you're like, yes, please.
Yes, I do.
Like a little more time, a little more pay. Like I will absolutely yeah. take that. Sure. And so obviously, as we've been talking about all of this, you are a props designer and you have some really amazing, cool credits. But I'm curious, how did you get into doing props and props designing?
The biggest fluke of your life.
I love all
most
this.
Of my career is the biggest fluke of your life. I had submitted to the project to stage manage. They were looking for a stage manager for the local Chappaqua/New York production. And I was like, wow, this pay is really great. I'll submit to stage manage this. And I guess on the, you know, I have 5 million different resumes. I guess on the one that I had sent them, like, down in the little corner, it said that I had prop designed something in college, which was true, but it was something that was literally set in, like, an office building. Like, I pulled pencils from my dorm room and, like, put them on a stage. Like, it wasn't crazy. But they apparently had just had their prop designer drop out of nowhere. And so when they, like, happened to pick up my resume, they happened to see that. And so they reached out and they're like, hi, do you want to prop design the show? And I was like, I don't think I can. Like, what are you talking about? And they were like, hop on a Zoom call. And I was like, okay.
Oh my God.
And they were like, we'll be so honest. Whatever you put on the stage is good because we have nothing right now. And I was like, fair enough. They're like, we're redesigning the show. It's run for like, it had run, I think, 3 times before this. And then it had taken a year off and they were bringing it back and they wanted to completely redesign everything. And I was like, sure. Like, if you're trusting me to do this, like, I can do this. And they're like, great. You will fly out to Iowa in 12 days. And I was like,
and you're like, okay, got you.
Great. I do a lot of just getting on planes, you know, they yeah. kind of send me a ticket.
Just the last minute. You're like, yeah. You're like, sure, send me, go for
yeah,
it.
Yeah, for sure. And I was like, you know, I'm a crafty person. I've done crafts before. I know how to sew. And Charlie Brown was such a great, this is for Charlie Brown Christmas Live. It's such a cute little tour, a great Christmas show. And it was such a good starter to doing props because it was like, it was high stakes in that it yeah. was a tour.
It was literally a tour.
Yeah. But it was low stakes in the sense of like everything I was making was like very fun. Like I had like yeah. fun, like I was just gift wrapping things and making boxes and like putting together, like putting magnets on Christmas ornaments. I think I sent it to you. I have a picture of like the Charlie Brown, like the dog house, like the iconic yes. dog house, like. So it was just kind of like looking at pictures of that and figuring out like, how am I going to put this, how am I going to make this on a stage? How am I going to make this tourable? How am I going
right.
to make it tourable enough that and they can
yeah,
use it?
How can this tour, how can this like stay together, but also how do I keep it all within budget and like all
yeah.
that kind of fun stuff? Oh my yeah. gosh. To jump from like pulling pencils from people's dorm rooms to suddenly working on a tour, that's mind-boggling. And props to you for being like, yeah, I could do it. If you trust me, then sure.
I was like, listen, if you're trusting me this, like, fine, like, let's give it a good try. And they were like, that's great.
Oh my gosh.
And props is great. I mean, I love doing props. As I explain it, it's basically doing crafts and buying things with someone else's money.
Yeah. Like, you're like, what more could you want?
Yeah. Like I'm on Amazon. Like, okay.
And we have some really fun pictures, so I'd love to talk about each of these pieces. So we have this yeah. glorious little snowman here. I want to know about this snowman because I feel like there's a story here.
There is. So that is Mr. Frosty the Snowman. I forget his actual name that we named him. He's about 6.5 to 7 feet tall.
Wow.
I don't know if, yeah, like in that picture, like I really come up to like maybe like his neck.
That's crazy.
All of his, he's two-sided for a bit that happens in the show, and he's assembled on stage. So all of the pieces, the carrot nose, those are all magnets. They're like foam, and then they have a magnet, and then the magnets are hidden in it. He's made of styrofoam. The magnets are hidden in his styrofoam, so the cast comes on and actively like decorates him on stage, and then the arms also pull out and are all like
so
a
cool.
foam. And then on the other side, everything is identical, but it's attached, but it's dirty. So what happens in the show is that Pigpen comes and dances with him and everyone does a big turn. And in that turn, we turn the snowman, the snowman turns around, we pull back, and he's now dirty because he's been dancing with Pigpen.
Right.
I don't think I sent you any pictures of the dirty snowman.
That's okay. That's okay.
But I mean, this he also is... has a scarf and a hat.
Aww.
This was when we, I think I was just putting like a first coat of the white paint. So then he also gets, he had detail work at the end of the day, but, and we had to make two of them.
This must have been an interesting build to be like, okay, how can we build this in such a way that like, it can look like they are putting together a snowman on stage, but can be like replicated every single night.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really fun. I was blessed enough to have a great, some great people working props with me who were like kind of my manpower. So they were the ones, you know, sanding down the foam balls and like assembling him. And like, so his whole body is glued together. They don't assemble that, but yeah, all the little pieces, they do get assembled.
Well, shout out to your team that actually got to put forth the items that you created, because these are amazing. And this glorious photo of the doghouse. It's beautiful.
This also gets fully decorated on stage. The topper on top, the Santa Claus has also a reindeer that like comes off. That is assembled off stage. That's the only part that goes on after they pull it off the first time. And then it comes on the second time and it's got the ribbon and the Santa Claus. And that, it's called a blow mold, the thing on top of it.
Yeah.
Vintage. It cost $450. I had to buy two of them.
Oh my God. How did you find two identical ones? Like,
they had them on Mercari. I don't know. I was so lucky that I was able to like figure that out, because they were, that was the one thing that they were like very specific that they wanted, because it's so time period for like,
yeah,
Charlie Brown. Like, they would have had those on their house. So lucky to find that. So that, yeah, gets put on afterwards. Everything else, there's a magnet strip at the bottom. There's a magnet strip at the top. So all of those ornaments are hung by magnets that are hidden in the bows. And then the tinsel also hides magnets. So they set the tinsel up, and then the lights, someone literally runs a circle on stage. And during the scene, when they're decorating it, there's a couple light cues. So there's actually someone inside of the doghouse while they're decorating it, holding cords, and waiting to plug something in. And then they like hold the ladder so Snoopy can climb up on top at the end of that scene. So there's always someone hiding in the doghouse.
So
it was never
fun.
Me, but
well, yeah. And that must have been so wild to like get to rehearse for the first time. Like, I'm sure, because you got to be, I'm sure you got to be a part of that process. Like, be, yeah, like, okay, this is how it goes. Now, like, let's practice doing this correctly.
Yeah, and it was figuring out like, oh, do we put the ornaments? Do we do the tinsel first? Like, when do the lights get run around?
Right.
And making sure it's all done in time, because it's all happening while lines are happening. And there's like a whole little cute little scene where it's getting decorated.
All back to problem solving.
All back to problem solving. But I love it, because it looks just like the, like if you pulled it from the cartoon, like it looks just like it.
It looks just like it. It's gorgeous. And then we have this lovely little last photo with the cast.
Yes, this was the tour cast. And all of those boxes are made out of coroplast.
Mm-hmm.
So they had to be durable enough to tour. And all of the wrapping paper is actually fabric.
I was wondering about that.
Yeah, it's all fabric. And then, of course, the ribbons are like hot glued down. The little tags are hot glued down. Big fan of hot glue guns over here. But yeah, I love
that
picture.
Well, and it always cracks me up when it comes to things like gift wrapping and stuff like that, because I've learned over time too that it's like, you can't have materials that actually make noise and that kind of thing on stage. Like,
yeah,
I know there's a guy who like makes like chip bags for TV, and how they have to be made out of a certain material to look like chip bags, but can't make any of the noise of it. And it's just so fascinating. And that brings us to our last Instagram question, which was, do you have any favorite stories from Charlie Brown?
Oh, from Charlie Brown. I don't know if I have any specific favorite stories. I just had a really great experience with the cast, especially the cast of the local, because I got to like actually know them and like be prop runner and COVID safety manager for that part of it. but they were just so kind and so nice and supportive. I'm still friends with several of them. Like, we keep in touch. And they're all so talented and have moved on to like such good things afterwards. So yeah, I think it was just really a good Christmas experience. I don't know if I had any major specific ones, but like, it was just a really great process. Really, really great people.
Well, and it's lovely that all of these people that you worked with have gone on to do some other amazing things. Cause here's the thing, you have to, you've got to since then prop design another tour on your feet. I have pictures that we can take a look at. How did you end up getting to work with On Your Feet then?
Another just cold email.
Oh my gosh.
The general management company of On Your Feet is the same general management company that did Charlie Brown. So I guess my name got passed around to the right people, which is always lovely to know is happening.
Yes.
So yeah, they reached out. This one I did have several interviews for. I think I was up against two other people for this one, and I was really excited to get it. And it's a fun show too, and it's currently touring. So
yeah, that's awesome. And we have some awesome pictures. This one here of all the cast in Gloria Estefan and her glory.
Yes.
Oh my gosh. So that's also a question I have. Because there's so many instruments in this show, what falls into the category of props and what falls into the category of like music?
Yeah, I was in charge of all of the instruments that basically all the characters touch. You see the band behind, the bands behind for the entire show, and those are all of their instruments. That all goes under the music budget. They have all their stuff. Anything that was used on stage during the show is not mic'd. It doesn't actually get played. So we have, like, I think two guitars. We have all of those djembes. We have some bongo drums and a trumpet. I think that's it for instruments. There's an accordion. So all of those needed to look real, but they aren't actually played.
Gotcha.
Which does not help with my budget at all, because most instruments you can buy that look real are also
are
the ones
real.
You have to buy to play. Yeah, they are real.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that must have been really tough with a budget. And be like, okay, how do I make this work, but also get to create other things?
Yeah, instruments are expensive.
Yeah, like we have a whole accordion in this picture. Yeah. Oh my gosh. And then you have things like dish towels and then also this broom. Like, granted, I'm sure a broom and a hand towel are a bit easier to acquire, but nonetheless.
Yeah. But still, I think I had to go to three different stores to find a wooden broom like that.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair.
And yeah, it's not something you can find at like Walmart. Dish towels I could get at Walmart, but.
Yeah, exactly. Then we have this photo here. What a glorious shot of the whole stage.
Yes. Ah. So the props in this scene are the comparsas, which are in the back. They're the things on the poles.
Yeah.
And they're traditionally used during parades. And usually they're bigger, but for like time and space constraints, we had to be smaller, but they're made out of like, I was winging it this entire time. It's not something you buy. When you look it up, comparsas is also the name like of the people that dance with them. And so that's really all it comes up. You can't find out how to make them. Like the people that make them have been making them for years and it's kind of just passed down.
Right. And so you're how do I replicate this?
Yeah. With like no background in it, trying to figure out how to do it. So it's actually like embroidery hoops with a lot of like fabric ruffles. And then they're like kind of hung off of these, like I got these like 6 foot tall gardening stakes and painted them because they were lightweight and durable. And then just adding like, so they turn and the fringe, there's fringe that like flies out. Like they're just like fun, like parade sticks that get paraded around.
That looks like a blast.
Very fun. Really a pain in the ass to make.
Fair. Then this scene I feel like is a little bit more prop heavy because you have like these people sitting at like an outdoor restaurant, and granted you have the instruments in the back there, but like what all did you have to deal with in this scene and what was scenic?
Basically all of it. But scenic and I worked very closely together. I had a really awesome scenic designer on this project. His name's Clifton Chaddock. Shout out to Clifton. He's my favorite. So props is fun because we do have to work with scenic a lot to make sure that like the vision is there, and it's mm-hmm. more apparent in some shows, less apparent in others, but especially for this one, like it had to be very cohesive between the two of us. So all furniture goes under props, but like Clifton and I had to make sure that like our visions were matching up and like what the scene was gonna, so my furniture still needed to like kind of vibe with what his was doing.
Well, and it looks like a lot of scenic for this particular tour is projection based too.
Yes.
So I'm sure that helps a little bit in terms of being like, okay, how can I make sure this is cohesive with each other? Like,
right. Yes, that definitely did help. But yeah, for this scene, the tables I worked on, the chairs we were a part of, obviously any of the instruments, all the stuff on the table, there's plates of fake food, there's fake drinks, there's menus. I don't know if you can see them in this picture. I don't think you can.
Yeah.
And then those umbrellas were special ordered from South Africa.
Oh my God.
Because it's this one particular company. They're the only people that do it. The umbrellas, the little loop things on that you can kind of see hanging,
mm-hmm.
they're like these automatic pulls. So you like tap the edge of the umbrella and it opens by itself, and then you pull the handle and it closes by itself. So for tour purposes and for like quick change purposes,
that's going to be the best.
Yeah, it was. We decided that was probably the best option so that they didn't have to deal with like, you know, wiggling it up and then wiggling it down. It's just kind of doing it on its own. And they arranged it with like the choreography and the song, so it's like in time with the music. It's really beautiful. Like it works, but I think they cost like $600 each.
Oh my gosh.
And there's three of them. You can only see two of them, but there's three of them in the scene.
And you're like, great, more that's eating away at my budget. Love it.
Yeah, but you know what? It works. It works. We
did it. And then that was the last picture I have from that. But no, those are so cool and definitely way more, I would say, like involved than necessarily what you did on Charlie Brown. So how for cool sure. that you got to work on both of these and be like, okay, this is a huge step. But again, you have another team that's been so helpful and been like, okay, let's work on this together and make this as easy as a design as possible.
Yeah. And I love On Your Feet. I love doing period pieces because it means I get to like go yeah. and like source like vintage things that like, you know, giving them a second life, giving them a fresh coat of paint. And like, but then knowing on stage, like this is something that they probably would have actually had. Like, this is like very accurate. Like,
yes.
I love it.
And making the story actually come to life in that way, mm-hmm. which is so cool. And so then that brings me to the question, what's it like now having done these like two tours as a designer, but then also like still actively being a performer and pursuing that? What has that kind of journey been like?
It's really interesting because it kind of depends like on what I'm doing. If I like want to be focusing on performing or want to be focusing on props, you know, it's audition season right now, so I'm focusing on performing. But I also, as I was telling you earlier, I have a contract that someone offered me to do props for the summer. And I'm like, yeah. well, that would be super fun. But like, if I can perform, that would also be super fun. And I've had less of a chance to do that. So I think it's just kind of balancing the two.
Yeah.
I've been lucky in a lot of the projects. I've either had a lot of advance notice where I'm like, okay, like On Your Feet, I had a good amount of advance notice. I knew since July that I was going to be going away in September to do it. So I was able to get started on it. So then I know, you know, like I'm not going to audition for something that's going to, you know, like conflict with this.
Right.
And then, you know, for Charlie Brown, it was so last minute that I was like, I have nothing lined up. The chances that I'll get another something this last minute are so low. Like, yeah. I'll I think it really only gets tricky in times like this where we're prepping for the summer where everything is so up in the air. I really don't know what's happening, but I know it'll happen in the next, like I'll find out in the next month, but
right.
props, they kind of need to know a little sooner. So then it's just kind of a balance of, you know, what am I going to do?
Yeah. Yeah. And it's half the time it really is up to chance and like what projects come up before other ones.
Yeah. Yeah. It really does.
It's like, who has dibs? Okay, cool. Let's do it.
Yeah.
And at the same time as all of this, you teach dance.
I do.
I have this lovely little picture of you and some of your students all posing. I'm assuming for what looks like a recital of some sort.
That was our outside recital. That was
so cute.
Lived in Boston. I now teach in New York at a new studio, and we're getting ready for our first recital, or the first recital Ooh. I'll be a part of. They did one last year. I'm very excited.
Oh, that's so fun. What ages and styles do you teach?
I teach ballet, musical theater, and jazz, and tap, but like baby tap. And I teach from the 3-year-olds up to like, I think 7 or 8-year-olds this year.
The very young kids. Very young kiddos.
yes, for sure. But I've been really lucky. I love my studio and I get to teach like 3 days a week and like it's very
I love that. That's so awesome. Where is the studio or what is and where is the studio?
Yes, it's Forever Young LIC and it is in Long Island City.
Nice.
It's a lovely little non-competition studio. It reminds me of the studio I grew up taking at. Mm-hmm. So I really love it because I was not a comp kid.
Same.
So this is like, you know, we have our studio, everything's pink, everything's frilly. It's a bunch of little girls that just want to dance for fun. I love it.
that's the best. And that's so sweet. I love that. That's so much fun. And it's crazy because we're pretty much at the end of this episode. It's been so much fun to chat with you and hear about all the incredible things that you're doing and have been doing. Where can people find you on social media?
Yeah. So my Instagram is Emerose G Campbell and my website is emerosegcampbell.com.
There we go.
Rose GC, you know, I post up on the TikTok.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I love that.
I love answering questions and I love when people reach out for stuff. So like everyone can feel free to.
Yes. And absolutely a social butterfly.
I try.
And then you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Laura_Marjoram and my website, www.lauramarjoram.com. You can find this show on Instagram at Overtures Show. You can also find us on YouTube. Just search Overtures Show. If you're watching the video version of this, it's only available on YouTube. So you found it. Yay. Subscribe, comment, join us live, say hi. I have been known to take questions live if people have them and things like that. So please come join us. It's fun that way. And people can submit questions on Instagram like Emma Rose's friend Emily did. So go check that out. We're also on Spotify and Apple Music. So this lovely episode here will eventually become a podcast episode. So if you want to check out old episodes, you can do that on the go or on YouTube still. And then we do have a Ko-fi page just in case you are so inclined to buy Overtures a cup of coffee and help go towards the operating costs of this show so that I can keep talking to wonderful guests like Emma Rose. But with that, Emma Rose, do you have any final thoughts for viewers live and in the future?
I don't think so. Theater's weird and you're going to end up doing a lot of things that you didn't know that you could do. Ride with it.
Exactly. I think you're perfect word. You are a perfect example of that. Words just happen and it's fine, but you are a perfect example of that. Take it as it comes, you know? We do the thing. But with that, thank you all for watching and we will see you next time.